Okay, here we go. We're at the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis, 16b. We were going to finish the chapter today, Bezrus Hashem. It's all, like we said yesterday, it's called Agada to Gemara. It's not difficult Talmudic logic, but rather we're going through different verses through the Navi and trying to understand the deeper meaning that's going on over there. And the last few items have been discussions. Started off with a funeral. We're talking about funerals over there, the choicest burial places for descendants of the kingdom of David. And part of that was Chizkiyahu's funeral, so we're going to go back to that subject of Chizkiyahu's funeral and the things they did for him. And those who were in the Mishnah Berurah class will see the tie into that as well. So we're on 16b at the bottom, and they were just continuing on two lines from the bottom, and they continue the following. It says, V'kavod, just hit that button there. Okay, good. So it says in Divrei Hayamim, V'chavod asu lo b'moso, and they gave him honor at the time of his death. This is King Chizkiyahu in the first temple era. They gave him honor in the time of his death. So what did they do to show honor for him? It says, Melamed, it teaches us, Shehoshivo yeshiva al kibro, that they established a yeshiva on top of his grave. In other words, they started learning right over the grave. They made a little makeshift yeshiva and they start learning. Now why did they do this? Because it recognized the great accomplishments of King Chizkiyahu. You have to remember, King Chizkiyahu took over a very bereft nation from Torah. His father had done terrible things to bring in idol worship, stopping the learning of Torah. So he re-energized all of Torah in his generation, King Chizkiyahu. They said they searched from the northern border of Dan all the way to the southern border of Beersheba, from one end to the other, and they could not find even a child who was not well-versed in the most complicated laws. Okay? So, and east and west, from one Givas to Antipras. They also, it was a total revival. So obviously in recognition of that, he was a man of Torah. So to give him honor, they would learn Torah over the grave. Okay. Now, the obvious question, those who were here this morning for the Mishnah Berurah would be jumping with a question. How can you do that? Yet it's insulting the dead.
Right.
When you do mitzvahs in front of the dead, it's like, we can still do mitzvah and you can't. So if you look at the bottom line of the footnote, he discusses this. And he says that the academy was not located directly over Chizkiyahu's grave, because that would be forbidden, because it looks like you're mocking the dead. Because he can't do it. Rather, the academy was situated four amos away from the grave.
So,
8 feet, between 6 and 8 feet. Alright, so that's about this table. Let's see, 1.5, no, a little less, yeah. Without the extra table.
Yeah.
Between 6 and 8 feet. So literally, you could have the grave, let's say, where that picture is, let's say. And you could be studying over here, and that's no problem, because you're already beyond 8 feet from that.
What about if there's another grave next to it? Like there's not enough room?
You gotta be away from all the graves. But a guy like Chizkiyahu, that was an exclusive.
It was an exclusive area.
He was with all the kingly people over there, so they made it exclusive. That's according to the commentary of Tosfos. That's how they deal with the issue. But your footnote continues and brings you the opinion of the Rima Gash. The Rima Gash, says that in this situation, the prohibition of doing mitzvahs by the deceased would not be a problem. He says, why? Because they were the students that Chizkiyahu had taught in his lifetime. They heard from Chizkiyahu. They learned from Chizkiyahu. And therefore, there could be no doubt that when they were learning, there was only one intention. And what was that?
To honor
Chizkiyahu. So how could that be in any way a mocking of the dead? If anything, it's the opposite. It makes them feel good. That look, your students are still learning Torah. So therefore, there's a dispute as to whether it was actually over the grave, or it had to be 8 feet away from the grave. It's a historical question. We will not know the answer. Be that as it may, that's what they did. They established an academy. Now the question is that going to be forever? Since when do you have a yeshiva in a graveyard? Right? So obviously it was not forever. So now we continue, and there's a debate as to how long the yeshiva was temporarily housed. Pligi ba Rabbi Nosson v'Rabbonon. There's an argument between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbonon as to how long they had the learning going on over there. Charam, or one of the opinions, says Shlosha. It was a period of 3 days. And let's see if the page is going to jump on its own. Yes, it does. Baruch Hashem. Let's just get rid of that. V'chad Omar, and another says, Shiva was for 7 days. And there's another opinion, V'amrila, and others say, no, that it remained there for 30 days. So why are these 3 times? Obviously, because those are the 3 stages in halacha of mourning. First 3 days is a more intense mourning, where you don't even greet other people. 7 days is the classic Shiva, and 30 is the classic Shloshim. So it's a machlokas exactly how long the yeshiva was there temporarily, but they gave him this honor. Okay, so that's one opinion of what happened over there. One way of explaining it, there's a brisa that's going to quote this pasuk and going to go on and give other examples of what they did to show honor to Chizkiyo after he died. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brisa the following. The pasuk says, as we quoted, V'chavod asulo b'moso, and they did honor to him in his death. So this brisa adds, it says, Zeh Chizkiyo, that's King Chizkiyo, Melech Yehuda, they gave him the vac. Now, this is a preface as to what's going to happen, and what, now they said who it's talking about, because the pasuk does not overtly say who it's talking about. If you look over there, you see it's not directly talking about, well, it does, but they're just doing it to start off. And what did they do? Sheyatzel Avanav, as a sign of mourning in the entourage, before Mor Shloshim Vishisha Elev Chalutzei Kosov. There were 36,000 people with bared shoulders. In other words, as a sign of mourning, we know if a parent dies, a close relative dies, you rip your garment. Well, this was the king. This was the leader of the nation. So as a sign of mourning, they ripped their clothing to the point where their shoulders were exposed. That shows how many people showed grief in such a public way because that's such a great person. Now, what's this idea? How did they have any idea that it was 36,000 people, although we know it's 2 times chai? But let's go back. What did the pasuk say? The pasuk says, it says, V'kavod asu lo. Lo for him. Lamed vav. The word lo for him is lamed vav. Look at footnote 4 at the bottom paragraph. So lo is lamed vav, the numerical value of lamed vav. Lamed is 30 and vav is 6. So that's a hint that it's 36,000 people did that, and this is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that that's how they showed honor to him as well. Besides the yeshiva there, there are 36,000 people who ripped their garments in a public way. This asks Rabbi Nehemiah a question. Amar Rabbi Nehemiah, listen, why is that such unique honor they gave him? We see that this honor was done to people who didn't deserve such honor. We see that when King Achav died, who was one of the worst kings in the history he had, they did the same thing. That's what footnote 5 says. There's a Targum over there that many people mourned his death, and he was a very wicked king. And how does that show anything special? Therefore, he disagrees and says it wasn't the fact that could have been 36,000 people who did. There's no question about it, but it seems that was more of a, you did that for any king. Even if it wasn't so good. So why is the Torah saying specifically they gave him a special honor? So rather we say the following. This is what they did. They put a Torah scroll on his coffin. Because, and what else did they do? And in the eulogies they said, he fulfilled, this person filled that which was written on this Torah scroll. That's a very public demonstration. You generally don't take a Torah scroll and parade it around unless the Torah itself has to give kavod for the one. Remember, he was the one, the Torah was, until he came along, was almost locked away from all the Jewish people. And he brought it back to the masses. So even the Torah itself, so to speak, has to give honor to such a man. Remember, a Torah scroll is not alive. But a human being who embodies everything within Torah is alive. So even the Torah scroll, so to speak, had to show honor for such a person. So that was what they did to show great honor for him. And they certainly did not do that for King Achav. And that is what he did.
Is this the king that was like a child when he became king?
No, that's a different one. That's Yehoyachin. That's a different one. No, this was Chizkiyo. There's many, many stories about Chizkiyo. But he had a bad father, and he made everything. He was the one.
Didn't that child also have a bad father, a wicked father?
Yes, also. There was a lot of bad fathers.
Sure, yeah.
How did they need to be king if there was a bad?
It was father to son descent. A. B. That was in Malchi Yehuda. Malchi Yisrael was all bad straight through. So, but it's father to son, you know, and there's also, I'm sure, issues of cloak and dagger and power and this and that, and not listening to the rabbis and all that kind of fun stuff over there. But that's what happened. Chizkiyo was the one that Sancheirav was besieging him to destroy Yerushalayim. And Chizkiyo just went to sleep, davened Hashem, and then Hashem wiped out Sancheirav. It's all Chizkiyo. It's all, yes. Chizkiyo comes with Chazak to strengthen him. That's what he did. He strengthened everything. Anyway, that's what he says. Gabor says, well, we got a problem with that. You want to tell me that was the unique thing they did to show honor to him? Well, the rabbis say, guess what? Guess what? I didn't parse it properly. But nowadays, many, many years later, like 1,000 years later, in the days of the Talmud, Nami Abdin and Ochel, we do the same thing. We bring out a Torah scroll when a great rabbi dies. So, you know, it seems like it's a common practice. So why would you say that they did something special and gave him a special honor? The Gemara answers, well, it's not exactly the same what we do here than what they did then. Apuke mafkinon, yes, we definitely do bring out a Torah scroll nowadays when a great rabbi dies, but anuche lo manichem, but we don't put it on the coffin. We take it out, we don't rest it on the coffin. By King Chizkiyo, they rest it on the coffin. That's answer number one. Answer number two, the boy Simon, if you wish, I can give you another difference that happens. Maybe even nowadays we even place the Savior on the coffin. However, we don't say any words of eulogy. We don't say, not by in the days of the Talmud, that he fulfilled everything that was written in the Torah, and that's what they did do by Chizkiyo. That's answer number two. The Gemara now gives a third approach. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Amar Rabba Bar Chana said the following. Now, I don't know why. I give you a little bit of an introduction story over here. Havo Azlinan Bahadi de Rabbi Yochanan Lemishal Shmaita. He said, I was once walking alongside Rabbi Yochanan to ask him a question about this preceding matter. That how could they honor him by laying a Torah scroll? We do the same thing. I was going to ask him the same question, but there was a little interruption. He have a ayil of a sekisa, but then he entered into the bathroom before I had a chance to ask him the question. V'hava boy mine milsa. And when he came back, I put the question before him, right after he came out of the washroom. Give me a second, man. Lo poshet lon, he didn't answer me right away because he had a little business to take care of. Ravad the mashiyot until he washed his hands. Umanach tefillin and put on his tefillin and made a bracha on his tefillin because he wore tefillin a whole day. So it's very interesting why the Gemara has to slide this in. Just say what he answered or just say the answer. He says, I heard Rabbi Sosa tell me the answer. I don't have an answer why the Gemara, you know, does this kind of little sidetrack over there. One second, let me just see if any commentaries over there. Let me just one second. One second. Nope. I don't know why they bring this in. But anyway, I asked him the question. It didn't seem to be anything special. But Hadar Amalam, and he answered us like this. Even nowadays, we even say, we put the Torah on and we say he fulfilled it. We do even all that nowadays. So then what was the difference? There's one thing we said by Chizkiyo that we don't say even nowadays. We say we fulfilled everything, but we don't say li made lo aminu. We don't say that he taught what is written at the scroll. At the funeral of Chizkiyo, we even say he taught. Right? And that's what it says in footnote 8. But nowadays, out of honor for Chizkiyo, we do not say he taught. In other words, by Chizkiyo, what happened is they say, they put the thing on the coffin, they say he did everything that is said in the Torah, but they also added, and he taught to everybody. So nowadays, when there's a funeral, look in footnote 8, give honor for Chizkiah, to not try to compare anybody to Chizkiah. We don't say he taught, rather we say about the rabbi who dies nowadays, he fulfilled, which is not the same as a great praise. So that third answer is saying that when a great rabbi in the Talmud days died, they put the coffin on his bier, but they would not, and they'd say he fulfilled, but they wouldn't say he taught. By Chizkiah, they said he taught. However, the Gemara has a question on this third answer, because now we got to start thinking, what's a better thing to say? Is it better to say he did, or better to say he taught? What's a better praise now? Let's talk about the best praise you could say about somebody. Well, we have to look at some equations we have, and some statements to see. Vamar mar, but the master said, there's a Tana who said the following. It says like this. Godol limud ha-Torah. Great is the learning, the studying of Torah. Why is studying Torah so great? Shehalimud may be lidei maisa. Because learning brings to performance of mitzvahs. So what does that tell us? That studying Torah is really secondary to practice. In other words, he says, great is the learning of Torah. Because learning brings that practice. Now, when you hear that statement, so which one's greater? Well, right now the Gemara is assuming practice is greater. Right? Practice is greater. Learning is great because it leads to performance. So wait a minute. So the praise they gave to Chizkiah that he taught, which concerns Torah study, is less than the praise that we tell people now who say that he fulfilled everything. If nowadays we say people fulfilled, and by him he said he taught, but it seems by the fact that we say that studying is great because it brings to action, well, it would seem that action is greater. So it doesn't seem like we're making any great praises of King Chizkiah. Now, there's a lot of debate on this whole issue. Because maybe, still in all, maybe learning is greater, because if it brings to action, maybe it's greater. But at this point, this rabbi did not feel that way. So how are we going to resolve the issue? So you say very simply, you got to be very careful. Lo kash is not a question. Because when it says that learning is great, is of lesser importance than doing, what was it talking about? Ha lemigmar, that statement where it says that Torah is important because it leads to performance, that's only talks about learning. Learning is not as great as performance. But what did they say about Chizkiah? Did they say he learned? What did they say?
He taught.
Teaching. Halak Muri. But they were talking about him teaching. And teaching is much greater. Let's see, footnote 11. In conclusion then, performing mitzvahs is more important than learning Torah. But teaching Torah is the most important pursuit of all. Why? Because it causes many people to engage in mitzvahs. Now he says the preceding applies to an accomplished scholar. In the case of an uneducated person, learning Torah is the foremost priority, as we'll see other notes. But anyway, when you're talking about honors now, so we say doing mitzvahs, learning Torah is level 1, doing mitzvahs level 2, teaching Torah is level 3, and that's what they said about Chizkiah. Yo, is this the sun in your eyes?
Okay.
Good, cool.
Bring my sunglasses next time.
It's the double-edged sword. You get the light. It's wonderful you get the light, and it's not so good that you get the light. So, okay, now we basically have one more statement to finish off on a happy note. Right? We've been talking about funerals and death and all this kinds of stuff. Don't quite want to end a chapter talking about funerals and that. So always want to end off on a nice note. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. My Tichsi, what does the pasuk in Isaiah means when it says the following? Ashreichem zorei al kol mayim, mishalchei regal ashor v'hachamor. The English is, praiseworthy are you who sow, means to plant, by all waters, those are the fortunate ones, who send forth the feet of the ox and the donkey. What kind of pasuk, what does that mean? That's so poetic. What does it mean? You're a lucky guy if you're able to sow by the waters. Plant, well, obviously, simple meaning is if you plant by the water, it's very well irrigated. And you send forth the feet of the ox and the donkey. So what is this, a code? What's it a code for? So he explains the code as following. Kol ha'oisek b'toyra u'b'gemilas chasadim. Anyone who engages both in the study of Torah and doing kindness to others, as we'll see, comes out of this pasuk. Zocha, he inherits l'nachalas shnei shvatim, the inheritance of two tribes, as we'll see in a minute. That's Yosef and Yisachar. So the difficult to understand pasuk is explained by a more difficult to understand explanation of the pasuk. Right. So look at footnote 14. When the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to say, sowing, planting, is a metaphor for charity and kindness. Okay. We say zorea tzedakos. You said it in the davening today. Hashem plants kindness. So in other words, when you do kindness, it's like planting, because that really is what planting is. Mm-hmm. You're taking the ground, there's nothing there, you put it in and it grows. So you give, a person's poor, he has nothing to grow from, you give him money, you help him out to the chesed, he grows. So that's the code over there. And obviously, water is Torah. Right? So therefore it's saying that whoever studies Torah and practices kindness, that's planting by the water, what does it then say? Will set foot on the territories of the ox, which is a reference to Yosef. Yosef is called an ox. And the donkey is a reference to Yisachar. And that's going to be elaborated with the following statement. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain what this statement means. He says, Shenemar, because what do we know? How do we know that planting is a kindness? It says, Ashrechem Zorei. It says, fortunate are those who, praise were those who sow. What is sowing a code word for? Vein Zeria Ela Tzedakah. Sowing is only interpreted as charity. How do I know that? Shinemarkas, the pasuk says, the two words together, Ziru Lachem Litzedakah. Plant for yourself in righteousness, in tzedakah. V'kitzu l'vichesed. And reap according to kindness. You see, there's a planting with charity. Sow for yourselves for charity. So planting is a code word for charity. And what about water? V'mayim el Torah. And we know that water is compared to Torah. As it says, hoy kol shenemar, as the pasuk says, hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, go for water. And water over here means Torah. So you see, the beginning of the verse says that someone who sows by the waters is really meaning giving charity and learning Torah. Now such a person has what? Has the foot by the ox and the donkey. Let's get to the next part.
You mean, isn't it teaching Torah, not learning?
Or, what do you say, teach? Or learning, no? They say teaching. I think it's learning.
Isn't sowing teaching?
No, sowing is doing acts of kindness. Right? Let's go back. What did it say?
Acts of kindness.
No, before. Osek b'Torah engages in studying Torah. It's not to be teaching Torah. Just engaged in Torah. So you get v'zochel anachle shnei shavatim, and you merit to get the inheritance of two tribes. What does that mean? Zocha lechila ki Yosef. You merit a canopy, meaning glory and honor, like Yosef. Because that's what Yosef enjoyed, a lot of honor. As you see, dichsiv, the pasuk says, by Yosef, bein poris Yosef, etc., etc., banos, tzadale shor, a charming son of Yosef. Each of the girls stepped on a wall to gaze at him. In other words, what did Yosef do? Yosef was a man who, looks over here, it's footnote 19. Yosef was handsome, so handsome, the Egyptian girls would climb on top of the walls to catch a glimpse of him when he would parade by. And he was blessed by wine, because he did kindness, he bestowed on his brothers, he supported his families in Egypt, and also supported Torah learning. So therefore, Yosef has lots of honor. So you'll get the ox is a code word for Yosef, and Yosef had a lot of honor. And also you merit what? V'zochel anachlus Yisachar, get the merits of Yisachar. And what's the merits of Yisachar? Which is wealth. Alright, Dichsiv. How do we know Yisachar is a donkey? Because the blessings that Yaakov gave him in Parshas Vayechi, it says, Yisachar chamor garim. Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey. And the Targum explains that means he's rich with property. Now, that's what footnote 21 says. It's fitting that one who studies Torah is blessed with wealth because he will be free from having to pursue a livelihood. He'll enjoy the peace of mind as he devotes himself to studies. And indeed, that's why Yisachar merited a particularly fruitful portion in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Hashem, yeah, he got a very good portion, so it should be easy to make parnasa because he was busy learning Torah. So that's what the pasuk means. If you're engaged in acts of kindness and you're engaged in Torah learning, you'll get the inheritance of Yosef and Yisachar, meaning you'll have honor and you'll have wealth. That's one interpretation. Istamri, they're those who interpret the interpretation a little bit differently. Same general idea. But what's the comparison to Yosef and Yisachar as opposed to honor and wealth? Rather, you're going to get the following. Your enemies fall before you like they did by Yosef. As we see by the brach of Yosef, it says that Yosef is a ox that's got horns. If you remember, we had those words way back in the first parak. We had to determine how the word nogach means a horn. Bahem amim yinagach yachdov avsaris. With them, his horns, he will gore the nations together to the ends of the land. That's part of the blessing that Moshe gave him. That Yosef will be able to destroy his enemies. And who is the descendant of Yosef? Yoshua. And Yoshua is able to conquer the land. That's what it means. You merit the portion of Yosef. V'zochen, you also merit what? Labina, for smartness, for understanding. Ki Yisachar. How do we know that Yisachar was very smart? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, Ubine Yisachar, Yodei Bina, Lo'itim Lodas, Malasa Yisrael. From the sons of Yisachar, those with a profound understanding of the times, so that they knew what the Jewish people should do. So that is the blessing that he had. And that is the end of the parak. To end off in a nice way, those who learn Torah and perform acts of kindness, they get all these blessings that they have. Hadron Alach Arba Abbas, Baruch Hashem, we finished the first parak of Arba Abbas, and tomorrow we'll start a brand new Mishnah that's going to deal specifically with the damages of trampling. So you had a little break for the last 2 days, an easy Gemara, and now we get to the more thinking stuff, and tomorrow's is not such a hard class either. All right, shkoyach, guys.
Thank you.
So good we finished.